I would say, please turn your Bibles to Revelation 13, 15, but it's actually in your handout. And as we do at New Year's Eve or close to New Year's Eve every year, we're going away from our Revelation study to do a topical study, which we're going to title Prophecy Update 2014-15, meaning end of 2014 into 2015, Wednesday night of December 31st, 2014. And usually what I do is, just as I feel led, where are we at in the end time scenario? And a few years ago I did a study, how close are we? And I wanted to emphasize a point that I made in that study, because we live at a time where we can tell people the Lord is coming back, Jesus is coming soon, etc. And people will say, my mom was saying that, my grandparents were saying that, my great-grandparents were saying that. How can you be saying that? You guys are always wrong, etc. And the analogy that I used, which I'm going to change tonight, is when you go on a vacation, you can't say you're ready to go on vacation unless the car's been gassed up, you've got your credit cards and money ready to go, you've got the suitcases packed, and you've got the time off at work, you have all these things. And when you get all that done, you can say, I'm ready to go on vacation. And our grandparents, our great-grandparents, had no right to say, we're ready for vacation. We're ready for tribulation. Because the things that the Bible says have to occur for the tribulation to occur, for the literal interpretation of the end times events, which is there's going to be a global government of 10 nations, Daniel chapter 2 and 7. There's going to be a global leader who's going to rule over that 10 nation confederacy, Revelation, Daniel. That there's going to be a global economic system which will control every person on the face of the earth, Revelation chapter 13. That there's going to be a police state that's going to be able to do surveillance on everybody to support the ability to control the whereabouts and the loyalties of everybody on the planet, Revelation 13, 14. I mean, all those things are necessary for, let's call tribulation vacation. All those things are necessary for the tribulation to occur, along with the biggie. What's the biggie? That Israel is a nation again. They're in charge of Jerusalem, that all the nations of the world are gathered against it. Nobody could say they're ready for the last days, the world's ready for the last days, until after Israel becomes a nation. And then, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, are we ready to database everybody on the face of the earth with a global economic system? No. Are we getting closer? Yes. Do we have a global police state? Did we have it in the 50s, 60s, 70s? Global police state. Did we have it? No. Are we getting close to having it? Yes. We're getting really close to having it. And that's what the study is going to be tonight. See, there should have never been any preaching of we're ready for the tribulation period. There's going to be a war between Russia and the United States, and it's going to be the rapture, and then it's going to be the Antichrist. It's going to show up the next day, and he's going to be in charge of the world. Absolutely should not have been ever taught, because the Bible has to come true exactly the way it says. So, the coming global economic system. Just reading out of the first page here of your handout, the Bible says there will be a global economic system that will be controlled by the Antichrist and false prophet. Where do we get that? Revelation 13, starting in verse 15. He is the false prophet of the Antichrist, the right-hand man, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, and there will be an image of him that is able to speak, probably big screen TVs. I don't know another way that John could have communicated it back in 90-some A.D., that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's his wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, For it is the number of man, his number is 666. And so 666 has been known throughout history as being the number of the Antichrist, and it's the number that is going to be in the hands of everybody and on their forehead, an alphanumeric system. And unless you get that, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Now, that means globally there has to be a global economic system controlled in a database that is absolutely, completely nailed down to every single soul what they can buy and what they can sell. That was not possible until the advent of the computer. And it's still not here. And even today, it couldn't be implemented today because you have the Russian ruble, you have the American dollar, you have the European euro, you have the Japanese yen, you have all the trading between those currencies and the value of those currencies. There's such complexity of being able to control the whole world's ability to buy or sell. The American economy cannot control what people in Europe are buying. The European can't control what the Japanese are buying. The Japanese can't control what the Russians are buying. That means, for literal fulfillment, let's pretend the Bible means this literally. No one will be able to buy or sell unless they have allegiance to the Antichrist. Let's say that's literally going to happen. What does that require? That requires the complete collapse of everything that is we now consider the global economic system. And the replacement of that system with something that is going to be a globally central economic system. And so that what we should look for is there any indication that the world is about to have a global meltdown? And by the way, there's nothing in the Bible that says the rapture has to happen before the global economic meltdown. In other words, we could be here as a church and observe and watch a global reset of the financial systems of the world. And so those plotting global government, there are people plotting to create global government. And they know that to have global government, you have to have a global financial system. So they know this one's got to go. And they can actually, the big guys, the bankers, the really big global elitists, they could actually create financial planning and laws and manipulations to actually plan the day they pull the plug on it, and they already have another system ready to go. Because when the Bible says it happens, it's not just going to be everybody's system, the rickety Humpty Dumpties that are all sitting on top of the wall fall down, and everybody goes, oh, what's going to happen? And figure it out. No, Satan has inspired people on how to plan to bring about a global control. Because if you control everybody's buying and selling, you control them. You control them, you stop war. That's going to be their big thing, is they're going to bring about global utopia through peace because they control everybody's actions. And so the Masonic order, Freemasons, they are globalists. They're an organization committed to global government. And they have their most ancient and often used phrase. I won't say it in Latin. I have it in your notes there. But they'll say the Latin term, but it means out of chaos comes order. You create chaos that will be so chaotic that people they're bewildered. They're desperate, they're hungry, and they're not going to fight you because they just want order. They want peace. They want to be able to buy a Big Mac again. They want to be able to buy fries. They just want to put gas in their car. Constitution's got to go, dollar's got to go, banks have to go, all that freedom has to go. From now on, everything I do has to be on a database economic system. Oh, that's fine. Just give me front row seats at a Seahawks playoff game, and I'm good. Everything's fine. So, are we close? I'm just giving you just a few articles. There are people send me stuff. Kevin, look at this. Decades long financial advisors YouTube interview clips, all saying the same thing. Unsustainable, can't go on much longer. In fact, one guy, the very respected financial advisor, and it's actually, it's quoted in here, how long is it going to be? He goes, I honestly can't tell you, because if you had asked me a couple, 3 years, I would have said, it can't go on any longer. But they keep on doing illegal things with the money, these qualitative easements, etc., that they're doing things that, to just keep it propped up a little bit longer. It should all be dead by now. It should all be collapsed by normal economic protocol. So, Stealth QE4, Operation Tokyo Twist. And I know some of this stuff for you guys that don't follow any of this stuff. Some of this is over my head too, but I followed this QE thing. Simply put, QE can never be halted or even slowed. QE means qualitative easement. Several years ago, we even mentioned it on a Wednesday night study when it happened, it used to be that the Federal Reserve had to print out every week what their money, how much money is in circulation. And they said, we're not going to do that anymore. Everybody knew the reason they're not going to do that anymore is because they're going to put the printing presses, the dollar printing presses, on steroids, and they're just going to flood. They're just going to start printing money just to do it. And so that's what they did. And it was 4 years ago they started QE, and it means print the money to make it so the economy doesn't collapse. That's what they did. $80 billion a month. You know, we worry about how much does it cost to make an aircraft carrier? $5 billion? $5 billion? We fight in the Congress over, we can't afford a carrier, but we can print $80 billion on the side a month. And then they tapered it back to 70 and then 60 and then 50. And then recently, they said, okay, we have recovered the economy now. We're going to stop qualitative easement. So, but this guy is saying you cannot halt the qualitative easement because we have to have that money coming in for the way our debt is, or it all comes crashing down. So where are we getting the money? And this is where he's saying it's coming from Tokyo. You go a little bit further down in the first paragraph. And by the way, I should say Stealth QE4 : Operation Tokyo Twist, for those that might be listening on the web, by Jim Willey. It's goldseek.com. Fiat paper currency regime has failed. The entire financial structures have become fully dependent on easy money and debt financed by the printing press, buttressed by derivative machinery. Now, you probably have heard about derivatives. And it's really important because derivatives, the term derivatives and what they mean, is why we are all going to be so broke we can't even see straight soon when it comes down. And here's the layman's explanation. When Wall Street got into computerized trading and everything else and hedge funds, and where people are managing other people's money, and they go, man, if we make a bad call on this, we could lose everything. So I'm going to buy an insurance policy in case this call is bad. Well, now what's happened, derivatives were algorithms that these financial wizards put together that govern the market, and it becomes a little insurance policy built on money created out of thin air, but still has to be paid. And they have insurance policies on investments, and then those insurance policies could be in jeopardy. So there's insurance policies on the insurance policies, and we've created a multi-trillion dollar monster that everybody knows is going to fail. It's like they were playing Monopoly. They're playing a game with the trillions of dollars in the world, that the amount of money in derivatives exceeds the entire value of all assets in the world. And it's getting ready to collapse. And they keep this thing going because they have to. I don't understand the game, but they all know it's going. First part of the second sentence of the second paragraph, it is yet another sordid chapter in the Weimar America story. And Weimar was when the German mark, one day everything's normal, within a week, the Germans are taking their German marks in a wheelbarrow to go buy a loaf of bread. And when their currency absolutely, totally collapsed back in the early part of the last century. And so what this guy is saying is, we're about to do the same thing, where the dollar is going to become history. QE, quantitative easement to infinity, is the marquee billboard message. They're going to have to print money until it falls, which will be perpetuated until the U.S. government debt default and U.S. financial collapse, forcing replacement of the U.S. dollar. The Japanese syringe does not prevent the U.S. dollar debt, only delay it while deeper cancer spreads to the Japanese economy and its financial structure. Because what he was saying is that what the Americans have done is demanded that the Japanese help us with QE. See, we stopped printing the money, and we went to Japan, and what this guy does is we have a sword over them. You know, we're going to make you do this. Who knows why, but they are doing it. Japanese said, oh, okay, give us the blueprints on a printing press, and we'll print yen. They're printing $80 billion a yen a month, worth of yen. And they've been told to invest it in the American market. Basically, they print for the people, for their own people, their own banking system to buy their own Japanese bonds, and then they ship to America the Japanese people's pension funds to prop up our economy with Japanese people's pension funds. And Wani was channel checking through those high digital channels where you get BBC on the antenna, because we get the antenna. And I heard somebody say, he was being interviewed about the Japanese yen. I go, stop. You know, I was studying for last Sunday, actually. And I'm listening, and this guy's being interviewed, and the Japanese yen is collapsing because of this policy that we're forcing them to do. And he's saying, they're printing $80 billion a month. This is Japan. They don't even have the population that we have, and they're printing the same that we did. And they've got to do this, and they've got to, what if they don't do what you're suggesting? And he sits there, and he gets his, you can tell by his body mannerisms, his body language, he's about to say, if they don't do it, the entire thing is going to, we need to cut to a break now. The guy cut him off. And it's on Skype, you know, so he's Skyping in on this interview with this Asian news guy. And he's like this. I mean, if they don't do it, when he cuts him off, he goes, oh, you, it's like, you dirty dog. You knew what I'm about to say, and you cut me off. And so Japan sacrifices pension funds, down partly onto page 2, where you can see the U.S. on the left-hand side, that paragraph. The U.S. will commandeer the Japanese government pensions, which will purchase U.S. treasuries. The Bank of Japan will monetize, use their printing press to create the money, to replace them through just printing money, monopoly money, so that the pension funds will look intact. The blood on the floor is the falling Japanese yen, which will have deep ramifications. And they're calling it QE4 with the Tokyo twist. That's what the financial people are calling it. Page 3, you'll see the collapsing yen, value of the yen. And then you'll see in the last paragraph before we get into the next article, the king dollar is in the final death throes. The entire world knows it, well, except for sleepy Americans who do not comprehend its role as a global reserve currency. See, the reason why we get to live the way we do when we have $17 trillion worth of indebtedness as a country, not to mention the trillion dollars of unfunded liabilities associated with pension funds and everything else, the only reason we get to live like we do is because back after World War II, the U.S. dollar was made the international trading currency, the reserve currency. If somebody wants to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, they have to buy it in dollars. If they want to buy anything internationally, all deals have to go through dollars to get to purchase the international commodity. And the whole world knows, because of what we're doing to enslave the world, They want to be done with this. They want to be done with the dollar, and that's why some people are very concerned that there's going to be war over it. Soon. And because we're doing everything we can to keep the dollar the king on the block. Saddam Hussein back in the 90s said, we're going to do away with the dollar. I'm going to start trading in gold. That was the first invasion of Iraq. Libya, Muammar Gaddafi said, forget the Americans. Let's put together a bank that just bypasses the dollar, and we can just start buying. You guys can buy our oil and whatever our bank currency that we're going to make. He went public with this great plan for Africa to set them free from our extortion and bribery and everything else. And all of a sudden he's a bad guy and he's dead. And Russia, or actually Brazil, BRICS. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, called BRICS. If you ever hear on the news, the BRICS nations, the BRICS countries, it means those nations, are all trying to create a trading currency between them that bypasses the dollar. And so it's saber-rattling, too, as to who's going to control. Because, see, if the global leaders who are behind the whole American reserve currency, that's what their planning has been based on, is when they drop the American currency, if other people break out of this system that they're trying to collapse, then it messes with their plan. So it's fighting words. It's fighting words to say, we're not going to be doing this. Next article, financial fantasy land continues to prevent collapse, by Bill Holter, or actually by Greg Hunter, in USAWatchdog.com. We live in financial fantasy land, that highlighted part, and they need to continue the fantasy to prevent collapse. The recent spending bill passed by Congress, and if you paid attention, you got a little blurb about it when they passed that bill in Congress, that extending our payments into the next year, which puts taxpayers on the hook for more than $300 trillion in future derivative losses. In another ominous sign, financial trouble is coming. Holter contends, it tells me that they know something. They know something we suspect, and they know something they don't want to tell us. They know a crash is coming, and they are preparing. So it was within the bill to keep this derivative thing going under our obligation to it as taxpayers for $300 trillion. And there was a little bit of a cry by the Democrats, well, these Republicans, they're doing this derivative thing that just plays into the banksters' hands and stuff, and we're never educated on what this derivative stuff and all this stuff is going on. We never get educated because they want us to be dumb. So how long can this financial fantasy last? The next paragraph. Holter, who has more than 30 years experience in Wall Street and finance, says, I have no idea. I say I have no idea because I would have thought a complete credit contraction and collapse would have and should have already occurred. The Federal Reserve with QE, money printing, and the plunge protection team. Now, the plunge protection team, see, that's the other thing that Wall Street has done, and they've made rules within Wall Street and within the commodities exchange in Wall Street, that you can't let this certain stock go down too much. So there's plunge protections where money comes in from the printing presses, comes in and buys stocks to keep it from plunging, to keep everybody happy that they're not going to lose everything because their stocks keep coming up. They get a paper sheet every day. Oh, my retirement account, my 401k is doing great. Oh, man, I can't wait till I retire. Only that money's all, it's not there. But they've got to keep us thinking it's there, otherwise it all collapses. So they keep this plunge protection team manipulating basically all markets, and they've held it together. It is being held together with confidence and confidence alone. We think it still works, which is why it still works. Because it shouldn't work, because the money's really not there. So when the wheels fall off of this thing, So when will the wheels fall off this thing? It could be tomorrow morning. It could be January 5th, the first trading day of 2015. It could be any time, but it's going to happen. And they also actually, just a couple weeks ago, they implemented trading collars on gold and silver. And they say that if gold goes up, and I can't remember what the numbers were, I saw the article, that it's like the last one, though, is $400. If gold goes up $50, we're going to stop it for 8 minutes, so because everything's computerized. So we're going to stop it, get some calm going in the market. And then we start it again after 8 minutes. Then if it goes up $100, we stop it. Goes up $200, we stop it. Then when it goes up $400, we stop stopping it for the rest of the day. So they just put those, they put that into implementation, and people are going, why would you do that? Why would you do that except for the fact that everybody's going to start figuring out this whole thing's going down, and everybody's going to start big time getting into gold because they're going to think that's the only thing that can keep you out of trouble. And then this is just a little wake-up call for us in Belarus. You hear the ruble's dying, right? That's because we're squeezing Russia. Why? Because Russia's trying to do BRICS. Russia's trying to get out of the dollar. Oh, we want to do that? Watch what we can do with you. Watch what we can do with you. And so this is economic warfare. We've already started World War III economically. And it's just a matter of whether or not nukes are going to start flying. And before somebody's going to blink. Either we're going to blink or they're going to blink. And it's going to be who's going to blink and how's it going to blink. Many people are saying Belarus is tied to the ruble, and we don't have enough money. They ran the banks. They ran the banks and went to the stores and bought weeks worth of food, emptied out the shelves, and now they don't have any credit to fill them back up again. Which is exactly what would happen here. If people started panicking and pulled out all their money out of the bank, and then they would do what? They'd go to the stores. Say, I'm going to go buy this stuff. It empties, but then when it all collapses, how can Safeway, QFC, any of these places then take funds, credit, to go pay the guys that are going to truck the stuff to the stores for us again if the whole thing's crumbling? Which is what's happening with the Russian ruble, and so they're not getting the shelves restocked. And then go down to the paragraph, Holter closes by warning. You know, just three paragraphs. I suspect what is going to break are the derivatives. The $303 trillion in derivatives that the big banks have, and it will crash the world. This is not just a U.S. problem. This is an international problem. When this thing blows up, it will be unlike anything that has happened since the Great Depression before. This will be the big one. Never before in history has there ever been the ability to crash the entire global currency financial system. Never before in history. Until we all got all computerized and derivatived in Wall Street and took down all the borders for allowing people to invest all over the world. Everybody's tied together. Retirement funds are tied together. Europeans were owning our packaged properties that, you know, during the housing crisis, when the big crash happened in 2008, I was coming back from Sudan, and there were some Europeans that were coming back from a safari in South Africa, and they're all happy. They get off their plane and they sit down and they, what? They're listening to the news in the food court of the airport, and all of a sudden the demeanor of this one guy, he's depressed. And his wife comes, what's wrong? He goes, we're broke. GE just went broke. We're broke. He must have had everything in American GE. And I mean, he is depressed out of his mind. And see, he is broke because they did bankrupt GE as far as investors were concerned, but kept the unions alive. Didn't take his name and number. Ask him, call. That wasn't able to ask him again, but told him. But we sat down, and I said, you know, and I gave him a gospel end time scenario, 2008, and see, that was a little hiccup. That was just a little hiccup, What this guy's saying, what's coming, is the big one. It's not going to be the little hiccup. It's further tied together. Everybody's intertwined. When they pull the plug on this one, it's going to be for everybody. Then, American bank bail-ins are beginning. That's the next one from David Hodges, page 4, thecommonsenseshow.com. American bail-ins are beginning. What everybody should realize is in 2008, what did we do? We, the American taxpayers, bailed out the too big to fails. Remember that? For the tune of billions and billions of dollars. But see, the laws have changed since then. And recently, the G20 met, and they just declared by decree in the government, the 20 leading governments of the world, we say that actually the money that you and I have invested in the banks isn't really our money. It's their money to invest. And if it gets lost, then they're just like any other business. They're just, see, you've given them money and they're just investing it. They're your investment advisor. If they go bankrupt, then it goes into a tiering of who gets the money first, just like in any bankruptcy. And what they declared is that all the derivative holders get their money first. Well, that's hundreds of trillions of dollars, which the FDIC, see, right now, here's the reality. How many of you sleep well at night because your money, up to $200,000, is insured by the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation? How many of you sleep better? Okay, I want you to understand something. What's happened recently is there is no FDIC. There is no FDIC in a collapse of the system. It's just like you're driving today and you have that insurance card in your car. And you know if you get in a wreck, you just flip the insurance card and everything gets taken care of. But the only reason that you really feel that way is because you haven't had to use your card. Nobody's getting in a wreck. But as soon as one person gets in a wreck, then all of a sudden everybody gets in a wreck. And the insurance card is useless. It is completely, totally useless. The FDIC is nothing but a name in the coming economic collapse, because there isn't enough money in the FDIC to pay everybody in the coming global economic collapse. And it's already starting that banks, certain banks, are running out of the money to give to people. And David Hodges had a man personally, he transferred from his savings account to his checking account $110,000. He tried to do that from his online banking, which he shouldn't do. Shouldn't have that capability, because then other people can do mess with your funds. But the guy did that. Except it wouldn't transfer. And he goes into the bank and says, wait a second, I've written this check for $110,000. I got to get it over there so it'll cover. Sorry, sir, you can't do that. Why? Because it's not there. I know other people that have tried in recent years to take large sums of money out to put it into something more solid and shiny. And they were told by the bankers, no, I'm not going to let you do it. And then after much discussion, planning, days ahead, et cetera, they were finally able to get their money out of the bank. And another person, he takes automatic direct deposit from his employer to the tune of $60,000 because it was a year-end bonus. I want, that guy's got a nice job. So, actually, I started to say, I want that guy's job. No, I don't. I love my job. What's good, $60,000? For him, it was nothing because they couldn't get it, because his employer said, I sent it, and it says it's been taken out of our account. Sorry, it's not in your account. Something's wrong. I used to, in my early days in the Navy, you know what payday was? Payday was showing up on one of the decks of the ship with a sergeant in arms with a sidearm and the guy with the money, and he's dishing out the money to everybody. And, we're going electronic. And you sit there and go, now, wait a second, where's my money? Your bits got lost in the atmosphere or something. The collapse is coming. And see, the thing is when you're an enemy, when you're an enemy of the state, think how easy it's going to be because you're not allowed. There won't be any currency. There won't be any commodity that you're in charge of because they're going to know what you have. Everything is going to be all tied to you, what your assets are. And then they just say, you know what? Because you disagree with the world leader, your automatic deposit, your automatic ability to buy, sell, transfer, get credit, everything just went away because we don't like you. And nobody's going to be able to do a thing about it. That's exactly what the Bible says. So, and you'll see other information there. George Soros has sold all of his stock in Citicorp, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, because they're the highest banks exposed to derivatives to the tunes of trillions of dollars. And people are watching what he does because he already knows what's going to happen. And that move makes them think that he knows the biggie derivative banks are all going down. And Goldman Sachs is the globalist bank. And then the next article, the New York Federal Reserve has signaled the end of the dollar is near. And these are like December articles. This is December 31st, 2014. This is today. And this is, we're not going to get into it except for the conclusion on page 9. Are the American people helpless spectators in their planned economic demise? For most Americans, that is true. The FDIC only has about 1.5 of the cash needed to insure the entire nation's banks. The banks, if we are lucky, only have about 10% of the cash that they claim they have on deposit. Therefore, Americans could theoretically only gain, and it goes on to say, basically, because of the derivative thing, we're the last guy on the block, just like I was saying. So, conclusion, according to the Bible, someday the entire economic system now being used must collapse and be replaced by a new system that will control the buying and selling of everyone on the earth. There are many signs that this collapse is going to happen in the not-too-distant future, maybe in our lifetime, maybe next year. I mean, people are saying, how can it continue to stay together when there's already signs it is starting to fall apart? And if that troubles you, then read Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and banksters break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And, I mean, months ago, when they passed the rules about the derivative stuff, we got out of, as a church, we took God's money out of Bank of America. And we went to Kitsap Bank. Because our advice from these financial people, a smaller bank, a smaller local bank, you might have a few more days when the thing starts to come down. But the biggies that are in the derivatives, when they pull the derivative plug, it's going to be quick. It's going to be a bank holiday and you're done. You'll never see your money again. It'll be gone, whatever's in there. It's what people are saying. I'm not advising you. I'm just telling you what we did with God's money that came flowing through your hands. And that's what we've done. Coming police global state, the Bible says that there will be the ability to hunt down and kill anybody who defies the Antichrist. That's going to require complete control of the people. License plate reader technology looks at faces. See, the cops now are getting license plate readers. They're driving down the street and just bam, 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 just gets every single license plate. Goes into the national database of billions of license plates and international database of license plates. And just bam, it can just tell the cop that quick. That one's stolen, that's it. And what they're doing is they're improving the technology where they can even get the people in the car. So that when they're going by, they don't only get the plate, but they get the people in the car and they peg them right away off of face recognition because you guys all donated your digital photographs on Facebook and that's all being databased. And so they have multiple digital photographs and it's so they can just instantly peg you. And gun owners fear Maryland cops target them for traffic stops. Page 11. Multiple accounts of people from Florida who have concealed weapons permits that Maryland does not recognize anybody else's permit, and some of the global elites are really doing the thing because they hate the fact Americans have guns. They want to get rid of them. They will get rid of them somehow. And so what's happening is the cops are going down, and when a license plate gets scanned, they don't know this for sure. They can't prove it. There's just multiple accounts of people who have a concealed weapons permit from Florida, but they're up north in Maryland, and they know, hey, you know, you gun people that have your concealed weapons permit, you're going to have your guns. So what we're going to do is we're going to whip around as soon as we know that you're a concealed weapons permit, which is something they aren't even supposed to be databased, by the way. They're not supposed to database your concealed weapons cross states. And so we'll stop them and search their car and find it and stick them in jail. And so this family, the cop pulls over and goes, okay, you have a concealed weapons permit, we're going to search your car. What did I do? You can't search my car. You can't. It is technically illegal to do that, but Maryland's attorney general says it's just wonderful to do that. And so they're just stopping people. And this article is an account of a family where they separated the kids and the wife and him in different cop cars. They just swarmed. They went through his car and totally depressed that he actually left his firearm at home and didn't take it in the car. Otherwise, they would have arrested this guy, as they have arrested others who were actually taking their guns in their car. Do you understand the police state mindset here? I mean, if you're a bad guy, just think about what's coming. You're a bad guy. And you have to think of every single one of those lights that are on the street. Those aren't just lights. They're increasingly their cameras. And they're facially recognizing you and databasing you immediately. Every single time you're going by a cop car, every time you're going past a toll booth, every time you are going anywhere, your license plate is being tagged, and they're starting to get the pictures of the people inside the car. And they could just, where is Kevin? And then they just have to sit back, take a coffee break, donuts, because now the cops can sit in an office and just do donuts there. And I shouldn't make cop jokes. My son's a cop. But Kevin just went over the Narrows Bridge. Kevin just went into Walmart in Port Orchard. Kevin just went here. Oh, could you please send somebody and go get the bad guy, Kevin? Can you imagine what they're coming up with? Yeah, I so wish that her name would have been Sarah, because then I'd always be able to sing, "Nobody doesn't like Sarah Lee." Yes, old people. Remember that commercial when we were kids? Gray-haired people when we were kids. Sara Lee pies. So, isn't it pies, one of you? So, anyway. Hackers can steal your fingerprint from a photo. Somebody photographed, a politician photographed her with a high resolution, blew up the photo because it's high digital quality. Blew up, got the fingerprint, used it to made a fingerprint, opened up her iPhone just to demonstrate that it was capable of doing. And they're saying, you cannot use fingerprints for biometrics. You can't do it. So what do you got to do? Okay, in Sweden, a bunch of people are getting chipped. This is the article. I keep forgetting to read off these articles. I'm among the first Swedes with a microchip, by Mimi Nilsson, by the local.se, a foreign news service. And it shows this Swedish lady, she just got microchipped, thinks it's the coolest thing in the world. And then just today, this is another article today, Obama advisor Gruber admitted Obamacare might not be affordable. Now, this is important. This isn't what you think. This is not a Fox News twist here. This is much deeper. Obamacare was never about health insurance. It was about control. And so Gruber said, I just wish we didn't have to lie to get this bill, because I told the president, and this is, they're uncovering correspondence, that it's going to be great to get the 50 million uninsured onto the insurance rolls, but there is nothing in my plan that can control costs. Costs are going to go through the roof. And, you know, he's telling Obama this when Obama says your insurance premiums are going to go down. So he's lying to us, deliberately lying to us, because he had to lie to us to get us to say yes. Because then what Gruber said is, so if we're going to have to control costs after we get everybody insured. So my plan won't control costs. Getting them on won't control costs. We'll control that after. How do you control the cost after you get everybody insured? And he says it here. You tell people they can't have anything. You tell them, get them all insured, and then you'll tell the people whether they can or cannot have coverage. People have been saying Obamacare was set up to have death panels, and Obama denied death panels. But right here what they're finding out in Gruber's correspondence is that's exactly what they're doing. There's going to be a panel, and I would imagine it's going to morph into, do you support the Antichrist? Do you support the false prophet? Do you support global religion to where nobody says that their religion is the only religion? Or are you going to be a narrow-minded Christian? They'll be able to decide whatever, and then they'll control the cost. Do you contribute significantly to the global economy by what you do? And if you don't, then you're, as Kissinger once said, you're a useless eater. And you need to be, why should you get health care? So that's what they're going to do. And so you've got technology that's, you know, under surveillance. I skipped all the iPhones and tracking, and people that think they have encrypted phones, we're finding out they're not encrypted because they have ways of, bypassing the encryption of the phones by setting up these fake cell towers that are now flying in drones over cities, operated by local police departments that can, because it's encrypted at the tower, but they pick up your phone before it gets to the tower, so they're not even, you think you're talking on an encrypted phone and it's not encrypted. Complete control. Are we close to having complete control over people of the world? Yes. Was it possible 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? No, it wasn't possible. Are we there yet? No. Are we getting close? Yes. So we're getting close on finance. We're getting close on this. I'm going to just play one clip on the apostasy. Are we getting close on the apostasy of the church? Because the Bible says there's going to be a global apostasy that allows the Antichrist to rise. There's going to be a global apostasy where people will be turning away from the faith and heaping in themselves teachers having itching ears, listening to various doctrines of demons instead of listening to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have all these things that are tied to the last day's prophetic scenario of Revelation that are happening all together. It's almost ready for vacation. Some of this, what I'm talking about, I mean, the Antichrist stuff, we're not going to be here for that. But the financial part, we could be. This is Rick Warren recently. And how many of you watched 60 Minutes on Sunday? 60 Minutes on Sunday, the entire hour was dedicated to the Pope. The entire hour. And here's what Rick...
We have far more in common than what divides us. When you talk about Pentecostals, Charismatics, Evangelicals, Fundamentalists, Catholics, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, on and on and on. Well, they would all say, we believe in the Trinity, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the resurrection, we believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. These are the big issues. Sometimes Protestants think that Catholics worship Mary like she's another god. But that's not exactly Catholic doctrine. There's the understanding, and people say, well, what are the saints all about? Why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality. Now, there's still real differences. No doubt about that. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team. The unity that I think we would see realistically is not a structural unity, but a unity of mission. And so when it comes to the family, we are co-workers in the field on this for the protection of what we call the sanctity of life, the sanctity of sex, and the sanctity of marriage. So there's a great commonality, and there's no division on any of those three. Many times people have been beaten down for taking a biblical stance, and they start to feel, well, maybe I'm out here all by yourself. No, you're not. The church is growing in Latin America. The church is growing in Asia. The church is growing in Africa. It's not growing in North America or Europe, but it is growing everywhere else. And so we kind of have this feeling that maybe we're not as influential, but we're far more influential than people realize.
Okay. Do you see the problem? I know I'm going late here, but the problem is, what did he say? We are agreeing on mission. We don't have the same structure, but we can agree on mission. Sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, sanctity of sex. Now, from our Galatians study, let me just say this. Does Jesus need to die on the cross for the sanctity of life, marriage, and sex? No. It's a different gospel. And he says, people get all bothered that they're worshiping Mary. As you can see there, the Pope worships an idol of Mary. Do not make any graven image. Don't bow down to it. Don't pray to it. That's what they do. They are worshiping idols. They are idolaters. The Bible says that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we're yoking with them for the sake of doing good things around the world. And he says, and if we get in trouble for taking a biblical stance, see, we think, oh, yeah, good, good. He's going to talk about taking a biblical stance. No, he's not talking about a biblical stance in the gospel of Jesus. He's talking about taking a biblical stance in sanctity of life, marriage, and sex. And that's what Christianity is going to morph down to under the Pope and under Rick Warren, bringing hundreds of thousands of formerly Protestant people worldwide that he's sucked in through his influence in the last 20 years. He's going to deliver them all over to the Jesuit Pope. First Jesuit Pope. And if you don't know what the Jesuits are, they were created. The Jesuit order of the Catholic faith was started by the first Jesuit who said, I and my followers after me will do whatever it takes to undo the Protestant Reformation and bring the departed children back under the authority of the Pope. That's what Jesuits are. And the first Jesuit Pope is here. And he's putting on a happy face. And he's worked with Council of Foreign Relations, globalist, Rick Warren, popularized, marketed by Rupert Murdoch, multi-billionaire globalist, to create global religion, to go along with global finance, to go along with global government, to create the exact foundation for the coming of the Antichrist in the last days. And we're watching it, people. The apostasy there, Christian yoga, you know, this article, Christian yoga bringing in the Kundalini spirit, the devil worship that comes through devil possession, being possessed of devils through yoga, looking for the Kundalini force. And then we have Israel. This week, the Palestinians tried to get Israel basically destroyed by a UN resolution, because if Israel goes to 67 borders, then Israel's dead militarily. We're there. Last night, national news on, I think it was NBC, might have been CBS, this school district on the East Coast that, their detentions, their expelling rates have gone super down because 30 minutes a day, two 15-minute sessions a day, the kids are all required, forced to do transcendental meditation in the classroom. And they just broadcast nationally to all the other school parents and everything, well, my kid got detained, so could he do TM, Transcendental Meditation, in the school? Can't we? It's going to spread throughout the country that people are going to start opening themselves up to doctrines of demons through Eastern mysticist religious practices across the world. We are almost ready for vacation. That's the final summary of New Year's Eve, 2014-15. Any questions? Yeah, Dave. If you have to go, we are late. If you have to go, I'm not going to care if you walk out on me. But we're supposed to stay up late on New Year's Eve, right? So we can, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Once again, see, as Christians, I'm telling you this because in my own heart, it's like, okay, I have saved. I tried to be fiscally responsible for my own wife, for the church, and everything else. But what is my hope really in? Because if it does all go away, we can get all freaked out like everybody else and want to go shoot people and riot and everything else that's going to happen. Or we can just say, it's okay. I'm just passing through. I'm just a pilgrim, just an alien in this place. And I can just keep preaching Jesus till I die. So that's going to have to be the attitude that we have. Any other question? Yeah, Glenn.
How can they say the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of sex when the Pope is already talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. I mean, they had this on the 1 hour special on the CBS. Just, I mean, man, nothing like having a PR network. But they were talking about how everybody just loves him and how he's going away from the church doctrine and he's opening up. I would rather build a bridge than a wall. That famous cliche in the emerging church. And he was asked on an airplane about the homosexual thing. Hey, if somebody just wants to be a good person and they just struggle with... I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly what he said, but this is what he said. As long as you're just a good person, they're struggling with homosexuality, who am I to judge? That's what he said. I mean, paraphrased. And... Oh, yes, we love this guy. Yeah, that brought in other millions of people across the world. He is number one. They absolutely love him. He is unifying the secular world, the religious world, the apostate Protestants, the Catholics are being the bishops that are hanging on to the fact that that's not what the Bible says. And we want to stick. They're being fired. They're being kicked out of the Vatican as soon as they shoot their mouth off. Right, we ran an article. We talked about it on Wednesday night several weeks ago and had a handout on the table. Making sure you're warning all the other bishops, this change is coming and nobody's going to stop it. Because this change is coming from the very top. It's coming, or the very bottom, I should say. It's coming from hell. And the devil is inspiring the Pope, the apostate Protestants, the churchgoers that don't know Jesus, inspiring all of them into this unity to create this global last day event. And I encourage all of you to just hang tough with being a fundamentalist, Bible-believing, Jesus is the only way, biblical Jesus worshiper, forsaking all others, cleaving only unto Him, as long as you both shall live. Because we're married to Him, right? We're not going to flake out on Him, commit adultery with the rest of the world, right? Father, we thank You for this time. I pray that as Your saints depart, Lord, that You'd help them stay safe on the roads tonight. And Lord, and if 2015 does become a perilous year, as some suspect, we just pray that for all of us, You give us that peace that passes understanding, Lord, that can only come from You. As we just do realize that, this, You told us this world's going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. and that we would rest in that eternal life that you promised us, and knowing that we're just we're just death away from that door that leads to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosanna mean? Save now, Lord. Save now. Hosanna to God. He has saved us. He's going to save us. And we'll be saved for all of eternity if you trust and believe in Him. God bless you. Keep you in His care.